This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
Alan Ladd stars in an episode of Box 13, owned, by the way, by his own company, Mayfair Productions. As it was originally broadcast July 17, 1948, this episode entitled The Biter Bitten.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Hello. Hello, operator. Operator, I will send a telegram immediately to Box 13, care of the Star Times. Come to room 507, Hotel Belvedere. Please waste no time because this is a matter of life and death, perhaps for dozens of people. I am Dr.
Because it's a matter of life and death, perhaps for dozens of people. I am Dr. Theodore Miller. Dr. Miller's telegram reached me at my apartment, special messenger from the Star Times. It was special, all right. Extra special trouble.
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's newest adventure, The Biter Bitten.
Dr. Miller's telegram reached me at 5:15 in the afternoon. At 5:32, I was on the fifth floor of the Hotel Belvedere. At 5:33, I spotted the room number, 507. Then I heard... Well, what was it? I walked to room 507, the sound became louder. I knocked at the door.
Yes? Who is it, please?
Box 13.
Oh, good, good, splendid. Please do come in. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
You're welcome, but for what?
Oh, I will explain. Excuse me a moment.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, it's no use.
Oh, you're so right, Dr. Miller. Music like that does seem a little out of place.
You're joking.
I think you're the joker, Dr. Miller.
No. Please forgive me, but I am desperate.
Why don't you settle down and explain your telegram and this weird little concert?
I am Dr. Theodore Miller.
Yes, I know that. I'm Dan Holliday.
Mr. Holliday, do you know what a herpetologist is?
Yes, I know what it is. A snake expert.
Exactly.
So?
Mr. Holliday, someplace in this hotel, perhaps on this very floor, there is a dangerous snake loose.
Are you kidding?
No. I'd better explain.
Yes, you'd better.
I'm in town to address the medical society on the use of snake serums in the treatment of hemophilia. I brought a king cobra along. It has escaped.
Here in this room?
I don't know where it is.
Dr. Miller, thank you for the telegram and the music. I'm going.
Wait, please.
You're either a liar or you're crazy.
No. Look here. My credentials. The hotel manager will verify them. You yourself can check. You will see that I am who I say I am.
That doesn't stop you from being insane.
Yes, I know how all this sounds, but please believe me, we must find that cobra.
I can understand your concern, but you've got to understand my position, which is one I don't like.
If you want adventure, this is it.
Granted,
you
but...
You still think this is a joke, yes?
Yes.
Wait a moment. Hello, would you have Mr. Larkin come to my room? Oh, this is Dr. Miller, 507. Thank you.
Larkin? Who's he?
The hotel manager. Look, Mr. Holliday, I swear to you that I'm telling the truth. Somehow, in some way, the cobra escaped. Look, here is the case in which I usually keep it. You can see for yourself that the catch is loose.
I'm beginning to believe you.
You must.
It might be in this room.
I don't think so. I've trained the snake.
What?
Yes. When it hears a little pipe I play, it comes, because I always feed it immediately after the music.
Oh, but this time it hasn't come back.
No, I... Come in. Ah, Mr. Larkin.
Have you found it?
No, I have not. But, Mr. Larkin, this is Mr. Holliday. He is the man from Box 13.
How do you do?
How are you?
Terrible. Mr. Holliday, I beg you to help us.
But how? I don't know anything about snakes.
When Dr. Miller told me what had happened...
Well, you should have gone to the police.
If we had, they would have evacuated the hotel. I can't afford that. Business isn't too good. And besides, Dr. Miller assured me he could entice the snake back with no trouble. So far, he hasn't.
Now, wait a minute. You're risking the lives of guests in this hotel. That's a little more important than the hotel itself.
I know. But what guests we have on this floor are not in their rooms.
And I'm sure the cobra hasn't gone far.
Then you think he's on this floor?
I'm positive.
Then, for heaven's sake, find it.
Who suggested sending for me?
I did. I saw your ad. It was just a thought.
And it's one you can get out of your mind right now. The police ought to be told.
But the publicity...
You'll have to risk it.
Mr. Holliday, I don't want to lose that snake.
Well, you have already.
I'm sure we can get him back. For 5 or 6 hours, he'll be somnolent. He ate just before we learned he was gone.
Did you find out he was gone?
No, the cleaning maid did.
Yes, that's right. She saw the empty case.
You mean to tell me you allowed Dr. Miller to bring that snake into this hotel?
I didn't know he had it.
That is so. I've taken the cobra with me before. I don't mention it because it is difficult to find the hotel.
I can well imagine.
Mr. Holliday, will you help us?
How?
I don't know.
Dr. Miller?
Yes?
You're sure there's no danger for about 5 hours?
I'm positive.
All right, let's go to work.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holliday. I have the help looking on the other floors. I'll be back in a few moments.
Mr. Holliday, you're very gracious.
Mm-hmm. Now, you be gracious and tell me the truth, Dr. Miller.
Truth? What do you mean?
I don't believe that snake just got away.
You think I'm lying?
Yes.
Well, I...
Go on.
All right. I believe someone deliberately freed the snake.
But why?
So it would strike me. Kill me.
Uh-huh. I was wondering why an experienced man like you are would be careless with a dangerous thing like a king cobra. It's hardly likely you'd forget about a catch on the case.
You're right. And, Mr. Holliday, I'm afraid.
Who freed the cobra?
I don't know.
I think you do.
I don't know. I swear it. I just don't know.
All right. Meanwhile, the thing's loose.
What are you going to do?
I'll help you look for it. But if we don't find the snake in 1 hour, I'll go to the police. Well, I should have gone to the police right away. But there was something that told me not to. Anyway, we hunted. No snake. So I put in the call to the police and went back to my office. There was something bothering me, but I didn't know what it was. But I took the trouble to do a little research with Susie's help.
Here's what you're looking for, Mr. Holliday. This article right here.
What does it say?
I'll read it to you. Miller, Theodore E., noted
herpetologist?
Herpetologist. Famous for investigations into use and value of snake serum in various diseases.
Let me see. That's Miller.
Did you think it wouldn't be?
I wasn't sure, but that's his picture. And that's the man at the Belvedere Hotel.
Want me to read some more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dr. Miller has been associated for the last 7 years with Dr. Roy A. Cunningham. Together, they
Cunningham,
have...
huh?
Does that name mean something?
No, just makes me wonder where Cunningham is now.
But why?
Miller said he was in town to address a medical convention. He said nothing about a Cunningham. I just wondered why not.
Oh, here's something about Cunningham. Should I read it?
Yeah, you might as well.
Dr. Cunningham lost the third finger of his left hand as a result of snake bite. The finger had to be amputated. Do I have to read any more?
No, that's enough, Susie.
Okay. What are you thinking about?
I don't know, Susie. There's something bothering me. But I can't put my finger on it.
You'll think of it. Oh, I'll get it. Hello?
Mr. Holliday, please. This is the police department.
Oh, yes. Just a minute. It's for you.
Who is it?
Police.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Holliday, I thought you might like to hear something.
Oh, sure. What?
About a half hour ago, you reported that snake business at the Belvedere Hotel.
That's right. What's happened? They find the snake?
I wish they had.
Well, what's happened? What's the matter?
Something strange happened at the Moulton Hotel, 2 blocks away from the Belvedere. here.
Now, wait a minute. You're not going to tell me they found a snake down there.
No, but earlier this afternoon, a man staggered into the lobby. Before he had a chance to say anything, he keeled over. He died.
What's all this got to do with me?
I'm coming to that.
Okay, but when?
Right now. You reported the snake business at the Belvedere. That's point number one. And just a little while ago, the medical examiner finished his autopsy of the dead man at the Molten. Follow me?
Well, I'm trying my best.
Okay. Would you like me to read you the report?
Yes, go ahead.
The man's death was caused by a powerful poison which acted directly on the nervous system.
Did you say poison?
Yeah. It's from a protoglyphous snake.
What kind?
In plain English, the snake that has fixed poison fangs, like a king cobra.
Are you sure?
I'm reading the report.
Who was the man who was killed?
We don't know yet.
Any identifying characteristics?
Why'd you ask that?
Stop playing games, did he or didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
What were they?
He was missing the middle finger of his left hand. Why?
Just what I thought.
What do you mean?
Look, check and see if a Dr. Cunningham is registered at the Molten. If he is, I think you'll find that he's your dead man.
Okay, Holiday, and since you know so much, how'd you like to drop around and tell us how that snake got two blocks from where he was lost without being seen?
All right, I'll drop around later. But I don't know any more about it than you do.
Gee, Mr. Holiday, you look kind of upset.
Yes, I am. The man you just read about, Dr. Cunningham, died today from a bite from a cobra. But I wonder how.
Well, you said the snake was loose.
Yeah, but that cobra had to go two blocks. He would have been seen. And even if he did make it, he'd have to be a pretty smart cobra to pick out Cunningham.
Oh, you mean you think there's some connection between Dr. Miller and Dr. Cunningham?
There's got to be. Both men are in town. Miller admits he had a cobra, then he reports its loss. Now, why were Cunningham and Miller staying at different hotels if they were working together? And what?
And what?
And, Susie, I just happened to think of what was bothering me.
July 17th, 1948, Box 13 on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Michael Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get pain magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
While Alan Ladd was an outstanding actor, he was not a big actor. Alan Ladd was 5'6 to 5'7. Not a very tall man, and that affected a lot of the way his roles had to be shot. Nevertheless, in radio, you didn't see how tall he was. You didn't have to. The voice spoke for itself. From July 17th, 1948, Box 13 on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
And now back to The Biter Bitten, another Box 13 adventure with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Sure, I happened to think what it was that bothered me, but it didn't tie in with anything, at least not right then. So my first stop was police headquarters for a chat with the medical examiner.
Yes, it's correct, Mr. Holliday. The autopsy on Dr. Cunningham showed definitely that his death was caused by venom. Possibly that of a cobra.
Uh-huh. But no trace of the cobra itself.
The Moulton Hotel's been searched. I have interns from the city hospital standing by with antivenins.
Antivenins?
Yes, yes. They're made from the venom itself, often efficient in the treatment of snake bite.
I see. Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Where are you going now?
I thought I'd go back to the Belvedere Hotel.
Uh-huh. Be careful. I don't want to go through another autopsy.
Doctor, I'll do my best to keep from being the next subject. Oh, by the way, this Dr. Cunningham, know anything about him?
No, not much. His specialty doesn't interest me, but I know he was a famous herpetologist.
Worked with Dr. Miller?
I believe so. They developed a serum for the treatment of hemophilia.
Miller said he was to address a medical convention here. Know anything about that?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, Cunningham was to speak, too.
Oh? What about?
Well, I made some inquiries when I discovered the dead man was Cunningham. It seems he was about to present the medical profession with the results of his researches.
Present? You mean give them away?
Yes, why?
Would those discoveries be worth anything?
Well, if they're what I think they are, there's a fortune in them.
I see.
Why do you ask?
I'm just curious. In fact, I'm very curious. Well, thank you, Doctor. If anyone here wants me, I'll be at the Belvedere Hotel.
All right. And remember what I said. That cobra is dangerous. And sometimes the antivenins can't be administered in time.
Well, maybe I should have told the police my idea, but I wasn't sure. I had to make sure because I had a hunch I was dealing with a very, very clever man. I went back to the Belvedere Hotel and spoke to Larkin, the manager.
I don't know what to do, Mr. Holliday. There are police all over the hotel. The guests know there's something wrong. Oh, this will ruin the hotel.
Maybe not, Mr. Larkin. Maybe we can prove there's no cobra loose in here.
What? But Dr. Miller, the death at the other hotel and...
Yes, the death at the Moulton Hotel. But I've got a couple of ideas. Now listen. Could Miller have left the hotel without anyone seeing him?
Why, yes, of course.
All right, let's say he did.
What does that mean?
Look, Miller's telegram to me was delivered at 5:15 today. The medical examiner placed Cunningham's death at some time before 5. No later. The Moulton Hotel is only 2 blocks from here. Get it?
No. Unless you're implying that Dr. Miller had something to do with Dr. Cunningham's death.
Maybe I am. There was a motive. Cunningham was going to announce the results of the discoveries and give them away. Those discoveries were worth a fortune. It's just possible that Dr. Miller isn't quite the idealist Cunningham was.
He murdered him?
I don't know. In Cunningham's room at the Moulton, the police found 2 snakes. Cobras.
Oh, well, then one of them bit him.
Maybe, but I don't think so. Cunningham knew how to handle snakes. Also, he would have had antivenin ready. Now, doesn't it strike you as peculiar that a man like Cunningham would rush down into the lobby?
Panic?
Mm-hmm. Nope, that wouldn't hold water. All his life, he'd handle snakes. If one bit him, he'd move quietly, Get the anti-venom and use it. Not rush around in a panic.
But what you're suggesting is that Miller deliberately...
That'll be hard to prove.
We've got to go to the police.
With what? My story? No, I've got a better idea.
Well, what is it?
You have a pass key to Miller's room, haven't you?
Yes, of course.
Well, you phone him. Get him out of there on any pretext.
Why?
Please do it. You want this girl up, don't you?
Well, yes, of course. But what'll I tell him?
Get him into the basement. Tell him that one of your employees has seen the snake. That'll hold him down there at least until you and I are through in his room.
His room?
Mm-hmm. I've got an idea we'll find something very interesting. The ruse worked. While Miller went into the basement on a wild snake chase, Lark and I searched through his room.
What are we supposed to be looking for, Mr. Holliday?
I'm not sure. Look. A case of anti-venom. Miller has one. Cunningham would have been sure to have one.
Well, now that you've found it, we'd better get out of here before he comes back.
Not yet. Let's see what's in that closet.
Well, please hurry.
Well?
Well, well, well. Maybe I found something I've been looking for. This leather bag.
Well, what's in it?
Well, it's rather heavy. And there are holes in the bottom. Now, why would a bag have holes in the bottom?
Holes?
Three guesses. But take only one. That's all you need.
The cobra.
Yeah. Larkin, take a pillowcase from the bed, quickly.
What are you going to do?
Hurry up, get that pillowcase.
Here you are. Now what?
We're going to dump the snake from the bag into this pillowcase.
You're crazy. It'll bite us.
No, it won't. It has to coil to strike. It won't be able to in the bottom of this case. Now, hold the pillowcase by the edge. With the mouth as wide open as you can get it.
You're a fool. You're risking our lives.
Snake won't strike. Now, get ready.
Please, be careful.
I'll do my best. I'm here too, remember? All right, ready? I'll open the catch of the leather bag. Now, here we go.
It was a snake.
Hold that pillowcase as far away from your body as you can.
What do we do with this?
Is there a linen closet close by?
Yes, in the corridor, outside.
Okay, tie a knot on the top of that pillowcase and put it in the linen closet. And lock the door.
Yes, of course.
I warn your employees not to go near that closet.
Mr. Holliday.
What now?
It's Dr. Miller, coming back. I won't be able to get to the linen closet without being seen.
Get back in here. Close the door.
He has the house detective with him.
Well, things couldn't be working out any better than they are.
Mr. Holliday, I'm still holding this.
Toss it under the bed, fast.
Under the bed?
Don't repeat everything I say. Just do it. Straighten the bed while I put this leather bag back in the closet. Go on.
If I ever get out of this alive, I'll personally search all baggage coming into this hotel in the future. There.
Okay, now we're all set. Sit down, Mr. Larkin. Pretend as though we're just waiting here for Miller.
I don't feel like sitting down.
Then stand, but try to look as though nothing's happened.
You ask the impossible, but I...
Wait a minute. Tear that extension cord loose in the baseboard. And hand me that staple that held it.
You're crazy.
All right, get out of the way.
What are you going to do with that U-tack?
Put it right here on the chair. Points outward, just about the height of Dr. Miller's ankles. There. That'll hold it, I hope.
From July 17th, 1948, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd here on Classic Radio Theater. Remember, if you miss a day, you don't have to miss a show. You can hear our shows anytime at my webpage, classicradio.stream. The conclusion next on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. An estimated 70 million Americans are still coping with extreme heat. Forecasters say the blistering heat wave is expected to continue next week as a high pressure dome from Texas moves westward. Search and recovery efforts continue in Pennsylvania, where five people were killed and two children are still missing after flash flooding in the Philadelphia area. The National Weather Service says more than 4.5 inches of rain fell in just 2 hours Saturday evening. Former President Trump says there are some good people running against him for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination. Speaking on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures, the former president acknowledged some of the Republican candidates could have a role in his administration if he's elected. It took almost 5 hours for Carlos Alcaraz to end the reign of Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon, winning a five-set thriller. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
On Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of Box 13, starring Alan Ladd, July 17th, 1948.
Oh, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, any luck down the basement?
No, some hysterical maid thought she saw the snake, but it was not.
Well, what now?
We must think.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
The house detective here says that there's no other way but to get everyone out of the hotel.
We can't do that,
Miller. I'm trying not to.
Dr. Miller, did you hear of Dr. Cunningham's death this afternoon?
Yes. Yes, I did. I would have gone to him, but I cannot leave here.
Strange that a man of Cunningham's experience should have been so careless. Bitten by one of his own cobras.
It's a chance we take.
But he rushed down into the lobby. Doesn't he carry anti-venom with him?
Yes, of course.
Well, then why didn't he use it?
I don't know.
He died at approximately 5 o'clock, just 15 minutes before your wire to me.
Yes, that's probably so. But we're wasting time here. We should be looking for the cobra.
Yes, I suppose we should be. But to get back to Dr. Cunningham, Suppose now, I'm saying suppose, someone went to him. Someone who knew him. Suppose that someone took a cobra there and allowed it to strike Cunningham.
Who would do a thing like that?
Oh, someone who hated him because of what he was going to do. Throw away a fortune for the sake of humanity.
You're crazy.
Maybe. But it would be natural for the police to assume that Cunningham was bitten by one of his own snakes. Not by yours.
You know that mine is gone.
Sure, to make it look as though it escaped here. You sent the wire to me so I'd be your alibi. Also, Larkin here is part of your alibi.
This is fantastic.
I admit that, but it's fantastic enough to be true. You took the snake to Cunningham. When his back was turned, you allowed it to strike him. But first you took his antivenom.
This is preposterous.
I say the cobra you've been looking for is right here in this room.
Get out of here. You're a madman.
That description fits you better than it does me.
Where are you going?
We looked everywhere, but in this room. This closet.
Keep out of there.
What's this leather bag?
Keep away from that.
Why, it's just a bag and...
Don't open it.
Why not? It's empty. Look.
It's empty. You're a liar.
No. No, I'm not. Look for yourself.
The cobra. Don't you understand? It really is loose.
Sit down, Dr. Miller. Sit down.
You fool, what did you do with that snake?
What snake?
There was a cobra in there.
Trying to kid me, Doctor? You told us it had escaped. He even helped us look for it.
No, will you please believe me? There was a cobra in there.
No, no, I don't believe you. And I said, sit down. What's the matter?
It was under this chair. It struck. The marks on my leg, fangs. Holiday, please, hand me the antivenom. The case on the dresser.
Did you hand it to Cunningham?
You fool, I'll die!
Cunningham's dead.
Please, the case. I'll get it myself.
Oh, no, you won't. Just a minute.
Please, please, hand me the case.
What about Cunningham?
Yes, yes, I killed him, the fool.
Hear that, Larkin?
Yes, I heard it.
Good.
The case, please, please, the case.
You won't need it, Miller. If you look down at the leg of the chair, you'll see I backed you into... this.
Tack.
Uh-huh. Just a U-tack. You know, Miller, you worked up a pretty good crime. But when you sent for me, you set me thinking. You should have been more careful with your story.
Look! Under the bed!
The snake! It's loose!
Larkin, don't move.
Well, Mr. Holliday, it looks as though we're all hoist by our own petard.
You, house detective. Get your gun out.
If you move quickly, that cobra will strike.
What will we do?
I'm the only one used to handling snakes. Would anyone else care to try it?
Larkin, look. Right at your elbow on the dresser.
What?
A little pipe. The one Miller plays. Pick it up, but do it slowly. Slowly.
I can't move.
You've got to.
The cobra's moving toward you, Holiday.
You're in the same boat, Miller. If you move, he'll go toward you.
Think your way out of this one, Holiday.
Larkin, do as I say. Take that pipe. Reach for it slowly. Go ahead.
Now what do I do?
Play it.
I don't know how.
Go ahead, Mr. Larkin.
You've got to, Larkin. Distract the snake's attention so the house detective can get his gun. Go on. You'll have to do better than that.
I can't. I don't have any breath.
Stand still. Try it again. That's it, Larkin. Keep it up. And stop crawling. Miller, stand still. Good boy, Larkin. You've got him coming toward you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Go on. Now. You. Get your gun. Well, that seems to be that. And Dr. Miller, suppose you and I and the house detective take a little walk. And I'll tell you the first mistake you made. The one that made your whole story seem just a little false.
Uh-huh. So he told you something that set you to thinking. Well, what was it, Mr. Holliday?
Well, it wasn't much, but it started the ball rolling.
Well, please tell me.
Okay, Susie. He sent the wire to me, begged me to help him find the snake because time was precious. Now, when I got to him, he said the snake would be quiet for at least 5 or 6 hours. So, what was the big rush to get me there?
Oh!
Good night, Susie. Listen in again next week when, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, and this week's original story was written by Robert M. Light. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager, and part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. Box 13 is a Mayfair production from Hollywood. Watch for Alan Ladd and his latest Paramount picture.
July 17th, 1948, Box 13 on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain, and open for business. And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set his adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
Ad for what?
The print and broadcasting and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. My name ain't Will, Wilhelmina. You got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or die, Dopey.
Put your message on this national advertising platform. Email classicradiotheater@gmail.com. classicradiotheater@gmail.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a 1 week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this 1 week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now an episode of the 1953 soap opera Hilltop House. This episode, and I wanted to give you a little perspective on how other soap operas sounded, because we hear Claudia a lot. This episode originally broadcast July 17th, 1953.
Alka-Seltzer, first aid for the relief of headaches, acid indigestion, and muscular aches and pains. Alka-Seltzer brings you Hilltop House. Hilltop House.
Miss Julie?
Is that you, Eleanor? Come on in, dear. Well, hi. You want something special?
No. Can I just sit here and watch you get dressed?
I'd love to. And I'd love to have you sit here. I knew my Hilltop girls and boys were finding every possible excuse to be with me. They were looking forward to my wedding day with great excitement, but it would be a day of sadness, too. I'd no longer be at the orphanage to share their fun and talk over their problems. They were getting accustomed to the new head matron, niece of our orphanage board chairman, Mr. Frank Clabber. It was a time of change for these children to whom life had already brought cruel changes. So I gave many hours to them trying to help them through the fear that was only natural in a time of changes. 10-year-old Eleanor was the shyest of all the little girls, and she was the third one to come in and watch me dress for the dinner party.
I won't be in your way if I sit over here.
Well, that's too far away, honey. Come on. Over here under that, dear. Now, what's your opinion on these earrings? You think they're too large for me?
Oh, no. I think they're just super.
Which would be better with the dress, these or these?
Well, try both of them on, and then I'll be able to tell you better. Oh, you're putting one kind on this ear and the other on that one.
Who knows? Maybe I'll go to the party wearing one of each. They would set a new style.
Oh, Miss Julie, you're always such a lot of fun. And Miss Gladys is... Oh, well, nothing. Hannah says she's sweet.
She is.
Well, she keeps thinking my name is Ellen. Every time I have to tell her it's Eleanor, and she says, of course, dear, of course. And it's 2 minutes after that she's calling me Ellen again.
Well, honey, this is sort of a difficult time for her, getting adjusted to a new job and all of you children, and she's probably too nervous to concentrate on everything. She'll learn your names before long, honey.
I suppose so. But she isn't pretty like you.
Well, I just hope all of you grow to love her, and then you'll think she's pretty, too. Now, which earring is better, dear? The rhinestone or the pearl?
They're both so pretty. I guess I like the rhinestone better, because it's sparkly.
You sure you don't want me to wear one of each?
Oh, you wouldn't.
Oh, you want to dare me? It'd be different. My ears would start plenty of table talk.
You better not do it, because it would be too different.
Guess so.
Who's coming to the party?
Well, this is the family dinner. Nina and Jeff and Reed and me. Next week's the big buffet supper for all of our close friends and some of the doctors at Jeff's hospital.
Are you just having dinner? Is that all?
Well, after dinner, we'll drive over to the country club for dancing. And what are your plans for the evening, Miss Eleanor?
Ooh, I don't have any plans.
You're staying at home?
Oh, no. I'm going to stay with Cindy and Marianne because Mr. and Mrs. Abbott are going to the early movie. I like to go there. They always get ice cream when they come home. My favorite this week is pistachio.
Oh, it's delish.
It's going to be lonesome when you're not here anymore.
Oh, I don't think it will be, dear, just different. And remember, I'm going to invite you to come to visit me after I get back from the honeymoon. And don't worry, honey. Well, I'll get together with all of you real often.
Will you invite the whole gang?
Well, maybe two or three at a time. Once in a while, the whole gang.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Anna says we should be thankful you aren't getting married to a husband who lives in some other town.
That's right.
It is going to be different.
Yes, Eleanor. Things keep changing, and that's part of life, honey. We have to get used to the changes and try to make ourselves as happy as we can.
I wish nothing had to change.
Sometimes I feel that way, dear, too, but we do learn how to accept the changes, and it doesn't mean things are going to be worse. Sometimes changes are for the better.
Oh, yes. Hannah says it'll be better for you to be married, so all of us want you to be. We don't mind that. We're just sorry you can't get married and stay here, too.
I know it's hard for you to imagine Hilltop without me, dear, and it's making you a little afraid, but Mrs. Clabber is very kind. And once you get used to her, you'll find Hilltop hasn't changed so much. It would be a mistake to be unhappy because you're getting a new head matron. That isn't giving her a fair chance. Now, is it?
Well, I'll try to like her, honestly. But it won't be the same because we like you first.
Thank you.
Well, no, no. I'd say about every 2 hours. That's fine. Let me know how you feel in the morning. All right, goodbye.
Jeff?
Yes, Nina?
Are you in your office?
Yes, I am. I'm all dressed, and I want to look up a letter.
Will you zip me up? It's in the back.
What would you do if I weren't around?
Struggle?
Mm-hmm, and hope you wouldn't dislocate your shoulder.
Mm.
Yeah, what kind of style is this with a long run of zipper?
Don't criticize before you see. It's a sheath dress. And it's stunning if you've got the figure for it.
Mm, which you have.
Thank you.
All right, hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It's too small.
How can it be? I haven't had dinner yet.
You should have bought a bigger size. This won't go any further.
Oh, you just locked the zipper. Of course it will. Well, raise up the catch and pull.
Mm, this time I'm holding my breath. Yeah, we made it.
How do you like the dress?
Nice shape.
You'll whistle some more when you get the bill.
Yeah, hardly wait.
Oh, it'll surprise you, because it doesn't cost as much as you think.
Well, that's a novelty.
Jeff?
Hmm?
Aren't you going to tell me what was in the letter from Dr. Bernays?
Nothing that requires discussion with you, my wifey, dear.
But it is about Reed.
So?
Well, I'm going to be his cousin-in-law, and I'm an interested party, not just the doctor's wife.
I'm not in the habit of discussing medical cases, and I see no reason to make an exception here.
You wouldn't make it so hush-hush if the letter had good news.
Yes, I would, Nina. There's nothing to discuss.
But if it's good news, why can't I read the letter?
Because I delight in frustrating Snoop.
Oh, all right.
Nina, you've got to learn that a doctor's business is very private. Your company's here.
Oh, Julie's coming alone. Reed had something to take care of before I could get over.
I wish there were good news in this letter. Dear Dr. Browning, it'll be another week before certain tests are completed, and I can send you a conclusive report on your patient, Reed Nixon. But the indications are...
Just forget for a minute, honey.
Oh, I hope you're more successful in getting something out of him than I am.
Hello there, Julie.
Hi.
Oh, when you're through gabbing, come out and taste my new sauce for the shrimp.
Be delighted to.
Not you. You can starve till dinner.
She's mad at me because she's not a doctor, and therefore I refuse to consult her professionally.
Oh, consult her about what?
Everything. Nina likes to feel she's right in the middle of life. Oh, Julie, I've got a letter here that'll interest you.
Oh, have you heard from Dr. Bernays?
Do you remember when Marianne had that rash which looked like measles but didn't behave like measles?
Oh, have you got a report on that from the laboratory?
Yes. Oh, here's the letter. You read it while I get this telephone call. Dr. Browning? Yes? Yes.
But this is from Dr. Why, it's about Reed.
No, don't read that, Julie. I handed you the wrong letter. Give it back, please. Here's the letter about Marianne.
In just a moment, we'll return to our story of Hilltop House. Return to our story for a moment. Julie was worried. Jeff seemed to be alarmed when he accidentally handed her the letter from Dr. Bernays, and it was about Reed.
Jeff didn't want me to see the letter from Dr. Bernays. But why? Unless there's something he doesn't want me to know. But why should he keep it from me? If it concerns Reed, it concerns me, too.
Be sure to tune in on Monday to another exciting episode of Hilltop House. Hilltop House is written by Addie Richton and Lynn Stone and is directed by Jack Rubin. Julie is played by Jan Miner. Robert Haig is Dr. Jeff. And Nina is played by Janice Gilbert. We'll be right back. listen to Hilltop House on Monday and every day, Monday through Friday. Sandy Becker speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Hilltop House ran with a couple of minor interruptions from 1937 to 1957 on both NBC and on CBS, as it was when you heard in this one. And the role that was played by Jan Miner, you know her better as Madge from the Palmolive dishwashing commercials. From July 17th, 1953, Hilltop House on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Please thank this station. Support their advertisers, would you please? If you miss a day, you don't have to miss a single show. You can find all of our shows on demand at my webpage, which is classicradio.stream. We also have links for you to other sites that allow you to download the shows. We also have links to contact me and all of our social media links. And if you want to buy me a coffee to help support this program, we'd be more than happy to have you do it. Thanks to those of you who have. And by all means, tell all your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.